Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Ruthie Bowles of Defy the Status Quo. Ruthie, it's awesome having you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
No problem. Super excited to have you on. And what I want to do is just read a little bit more about Ruthie so you can hear about all the awesome things that she's doing. And Ruthie Bowles is a U.S. Army veteran, wife, and mother of four. She is the founder and chief content strategist of Defy the Status Quo, a B2B content marketing firm for consultants. Starting out as a freelance writer working for pennies, Ruthie now works with top-tier clients creating website content, case studies, videos, and more. Ruthie, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
I am.
Awesome. Let's do it. So to kick everything off, I wanted to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story and what led you to get started with your business.
All right. So for me, like you mentioned, it just kind of started out with freelance writing. I served in the Army for 8.5 years, and I moved pretty much right into a position where I was doing the same thing, but as a federal contractor. And it turned out that everything I loved about my job was all the Army stuff, interestingly enough. So I just was very unhappy in that job. And I just started looking forward to those few hours I spent with clients, you know, every week. And so I realized, you know, maybe I could actually earn a living, you know, with my freelance writing, you know, versus just trying to get a few $100, you know, a month to pay for the chickens I wanted. Since now we live on a couple acres in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And so I realized I had to change things up and do things better. And so that led to a lot of, you know, business research and just understanding everything about my market, you know. And I had my fourth child and quit my job after that and used my maternity leave to grow my client base and, you know, doing things like raising my rates and all of that important business stuff. And you know, here I am now, you know, moved from, you know, just freelance writing as if that wasn't big enough to, you know, moving into more of a team setup, you know, a small agency type setup where, you know, we do all of the written content, but strategy and, you know, things like that. And, you know, I feel like it just set a fire in me in terms of, you know, my entrepreneurial side. You know, just this last year, I narrated an audiobook. Somebody else's audiobook, and next year I'll have a book published, and you know, just looking at all these different ways I can express myself and grow, and it's just, I feel like there's no stopping it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, you know, for your service. And I think that it's like the golden age for content, it kind of seems, and kind of for a lot of freelance writers, I've done freelance writing as well too, for pennies, if not less than pennies, if there can be anything less, sometimes it felt like. But it kind of was a great turning point where now a lot of organizations and businesses are understanding the value of content and how important it is to have that as part of their strategy. So adding that into everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so now I wanted to drill down a little bit deeper. Could you take us through exactly how you work with clients and some of the services you provide?
Absolutely. So it typically starts out with, you know, either it's a referral or perhaps, you know, somebody, I find someone on LinkedIn or they find me on LinkedIn. I also do a lot of in-person networking. And so typically, you know, a prospect at least will approach me, you know, from one of those avenues. And, you know, my first step is usually checking out their website. You know, if we've had a conversation and they show that they're interested in content marketing, I don't spend a lot of time trying to convince people of my value. Like, I'm okay if you're not sure what content marketing is, but I'm not really okay with having this conversation where I have to convince you that I'm worth whatever, you know, it is that I'm asking you to pay me. So I typically work with consulting firms or service providers. Just because I found that I enjoy helping them translate their intangible results, you know, their value, you know, when compared to a product-based business, kind of translating that and helping other business owners understand what they offer and their value through their content. So we'll also talk about, okay, who can be involved in the content creation? You know, am I allowed to, you know, okay, yeah, I probably already have direct contact with the CEO, but can I talk with some of your team leads or some of your lead consultants? That way we can use them as sources and quotes for articles and videos and things like that. You know, so identifying those key stakeholders, developing the strategy. Okay, what are you comfortable with? Are you comfortable being on video? Some people aren't comfortable, and that's totally fine. The worst thing I think is kind of forcing a content strategy or content tactic onto a client and then have them be uncomfortable and then have the content not look great. So if they're not comfortable speaking, you're not comfortable on video, that's fine. There's other things that we can do. But it's determining all of those things, you know, and tying everything back to key, you know, business goals. If you're a newer consulting firm or service business, maybe you're a web design agency or something, and you're a newer business, well, then brand awareness is going to be pretty key for you. Differentiation is going to be pretty key for you. If you're a business that's been in place for 10 years or 15 years, well, then you probably already have some of that, and we've got somewhere, you know, to go from there. But the strategies are going to look a bit different. And so it's kind of understanding that, understanding the business goals, what's already there, what we need to create. And we kind of go through everything there at the beginning. It's a lot of work on my part, but also on the side of the client. So that's why I have to, you know, be sure that the person I'm working with is very invested, versus, you know, somebody approaching you and being like, oh, I just want some stuff on my blog. And you're like, okay, well, some stuff on your blog's not going to yield you the results that you're probably seeking. And for the fees, you know, that we charge, I have to be sure that everybody's on the same page and that we're going to take it from, you know, strategy and ideation all the way through to distribution and assessment and understanding the analytics and the results behind, you know, the entire, you know, strategy and the quarter, the week, and then how everything all plays out. So we work really hard to make sure that it's not just an ebook or just a white paper. It's a strategy. It's something with a plan. Even if we're commissioned just to do the ebook, we're going to make sure that there's a strategy in place for distribution of the ebook. Okay, where are you going to host it? How is it going to be set up? Do you have the form set up? And that's just because they may be happy with the ebook, but if there's no further plan after that, then all they remember is that, oh, I spent that money and it wasn't really worth anything. It didn't help, you know, years from now. And that's definitely not what I'm trying to have, you know, in my wake, if you will.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. And I definitely appreciate kind of like that holistic, you know, approach. Because as you said, like, I think that I find that a lot of times to really be successful at most things, you know, you really want to do the work in the beginning. And that work consists of, you know, making sure it's the right fit, making sure you understand, you know, what your goals and aspirations are, what you're trying to accomplish. And then I think the tools themselves kind of fit into place based off of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And so now I wanted to ask you for what I call your secret sauce, and it could be for you personally or your business. What do you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique?
So I really like to learn a lot. Like that's my thing. I've always really loved to learn almost everything, except math. I don't like math. Like calculus, that was tough. But I really only focus on, you know, very forward thinking and kind of innovative type content, you know, topics or channels, whatever it is. And I think that that's really important because it's in the business name, Defy the Status Quo. What we're defying is the status quo of content, which is mediocrity. There is a ton of content out there, and people say it, oh, there's too much content out there, you know, there's a content flood. But when you look at high quality content, that is not in excess, particularly in the B2B business service type space. You could go to 5 different consulting firm blogs, open up 5 blogs on relatively the same topic, and they will read very much the same. There's this impression that B2B has to be boring. And that's another thing that I'm pretty intent on defying in my work. You know, so we don't create content that just checks the box, right? And so, like, I'm, you know, incredibly knowledgeable on SEO and the coming SEO developments and things that have happened before and what happens now. And people forget, you know, that the search engines are just trying to serve the best possible content to their users. That's it. So, you know, you follow the guidelines, because that's all they are, guidelines. You follow the guidelines to show the search engines that you are the best. But we leverage those tools, SEO tools, competitive research, to develop content that's the best that there is. you know, and it's not always the longest that there is either, because you can have 4,000 word blog posts that is just full of nonsense, and that's just not what we do here. So it's not about length, but I've had more than one client, you know, receive a piece of content that we've created and be like, wow, I mean, your other stuff is good, but this is like the best that I've ever read on the internet for this topic, you know, and that's what I'm always going for, you know, and sometimes that means, you know, a few iterations, you know, figuring things out, but I'm going for this is the best I've ever read. And that might mean, you know, citing marketing research studies or supply chain research studies and things like that. I like to dig into places where people are uncomfortable reading, you know, maybe because it's a little technical or something, but I can take advantage of that and you know, translate it. That's actually what I used to do in the Army. I used to translate, but I could take technical speak and translate it really well into content that serves, you know, marketing goals. And I think that that is the differentiating factor there. We create content that instills confidence versus just checking the box.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
I would say that this year, or at least 2019, something that really changed my business, I read the book Profit First. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Okay, it's amazing. You definitely should go grab your own copy. I feel like everybody I talk to, this has been my top book recommendation of the year. Nice. And it's because it helped me go from, okay, I'm making more money each month, more revenue, revenue's increasing. Why does it feel like I still don't have any money? Right? So I went from that to being like, okay, so I've allocated this much for taxes. And now, okay, this is my operational expenses. And here are my owner's compensation. Like, I can look at, like, it helps my bank account better communicate to me exactly how much money I have and what I'm allowed to spend. I'm not an accountant by trade. And the idea of having just a gazillion spreadsheets, you know, with all these different, you know, formulas and everything on them, just, I'm like, no, because I'm going to break it. Profit First provided a simple way for me to have my business still work for me in a financial way versus it turning into a cash eating monster, which is what it was starting to do. It was starting like I'm making more, but somehow I'm still spending, and you know, the profit margin just is not there versus what's going in and what's coming out.
Yeah, makes so much sense. So now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So this could be like a word of wisdom, a piece of advice, could be around B2B content, but what do you feel you would tell kind of your younger business self?
I would tell myself that my audience and my understanding of my audience is always evolving. And that's due to internal factors and external factors. And what I mean is, you know, you ask people who they work with and they kind of give you that like two or three sentence spiel where they're like, I work with business owners who, you know, X, Y, Z. And you see it in all the Facebook groups and everything like that. And so you ask them and like, oh, so is that your ideal audience? They're like, yeah, I know my audience. And you're like, your audience is that 2 to 3 sentence spiel right there? Like, that's it. You know, and they feel like that's all they need. And then they start to wonder, like, as their content evolves, why, and their marketing, other marketing strategies evolve, why it's not working. And that could be because you haven't continued to dig into your audience. But then also, like in my case, especially in the content space, everybody's like, oh, you have to niche down. You got to niche down. And you're like, okay, well, I'm not sure where I'm comfortable yet. And that's the internal factor in terms of it evolving. So if you're a service provider of any kind, whether it's consulting or anything else, you may evolve as you mature as a business owner, because you're a business owner, but you're also a service provider, right? So you have two hats, but you may evolve. And as you evolve, who you choose to work with will also change. So in my case, consulting firms were not my first audience. That wasn't the ideal client I had marked out for myself. It was it was B2B service firms, you know, but it took me a while even to get down to B2B. But understanding that that is a process that we have to go through, and I feel like we should at least quarterly reassess exactly who our audience is and understand that external factors may influence your audience as well, but we should always be looking for more information on our audience.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on this show. So Ruthie, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Being a CEO to me, freedom, tempered with responsibility.
truly appreciate that definition, and I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you want to let our readers and listeners know, and then, of course, how best they can get a hold of you and find out about all the awesome things you guys are working on.
You know, I hate to say the word, but I would really like to see more people kind of, I guess I won't say that word, I'll say genuinely show up in their marketing. I've got a LinkedIn post that's about to go live, and it's called An Open Letter to the LinkedIn Spammer. So keep an eye out for that. But that is an example of not genuine marketing. But I'd really like to see more people kind of genuinely show up in their marketing and really just kind of take control and take responsibility for their marketing. And in terms of reaching me, I am most easily reached on LinkedIn for sure. More than happy to connect. But of course, please use that connection request message, right? Just let me know that this is where you heard me, or, you know, read what Gresh and I talked about. And just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to add you. And if you've got any quick questions that I can answer for you, I'd be happy to do that too. But LinkedIn, just Ruthie Bowles on LinkedIn, and I'm sure you'll find me, because there's not that many of us.
There you go. Just to make it even easier, we will have the links and information in the show notes so that somebody can click through, check out that blog post, and connect with you for sure. But thank you so much for that reminder as well, too, of being authentic and not being a LinkedIn spammer or spammer anywhere, to be frank. But, appreciate that. Appreciate your time. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.